hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone's having an absolutely terrific day. And as a lot of things are happening right now, I still encourage everybody to stand strong in your beliefs and your convictions. A lot of you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of things going on right now, and people are capitulating. They're giving in. They're giving up, essentially, to the mob mentality. And I encourage everybody, don't do that. Don't fall prey to that. That is exactly what the globalists are betting on, is that people are going to go into the sheeple status and follow a lot of people down this really, really bad trail, because that's what everybody's doing, and essentially that's the trendy thing to do now. Because remember, COVID's not trendy anymore. It's not cool anymore. It's kind of gotten over, not because it's gone, but because they had to change the narrative with how much we were calling out the facts, the real facts of everything that's going on. And I went into detail on that yesterday. So again, I just encourage everybody, stand strong in your faith and your conviction, keep your head held high, and continue to spread the truth. And other than that, Dad, how are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm doing great, Lawson. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. I mean, you know, the normalcy bias in the United States has gotten to the point now where people don't know what to do, because the Q narrative is falling apart. And everybody's saying, well, now Q's selling coffee mugs, and they're selling T-shirts, and they're selling T-shirts, or I'm sorry, you know, sweatshirts, and they're selling all of these things, they're monetizing their views, and all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, you know, we thought this was real, and yet nothing's happening. Where are the 175,000 sealed indictments? You know, Trump's going to be running for president here in about 4 or 5 months. And if this 175,000 sealed indictments isn't processed before the election, if Trump doesn't win, then we'll never see the sealed indictments get processed. And now they're starting to think, we're running out of time. You know, we're running out of time. And see, and so everybody's got this normalcy bias thing, and they're saying, what the heck are we doing here? Why are we involved in this? And why haven't we been more active as far as in the last 4 years promoting the Patriot agenda? I talked about this in depth yesterday, with nationalism and the importance of nationalism, how when a country is no longer nationalistic and it opens its borders to anybody and everyone and everything, and it starts accepting all of these strange ideas, the country loses its internal structure that made it the country that it was. We saw this happen to Rome. I told you guys years ago. My dad asked me one time, do you know why Rome fell? And I said, well, Dad, the barbarians came in. He said, no. He said, the Romans stopped raising little Romans. And that's what we've done. We've allowed this liberal ideology to come in and brainwash us via the Frankfurt School to make us think that all of these things these guys have pushed are okay. Well, we'll be tolerant of homosexuality. We just don't want to see it. Well, then they put the transgenders, the drag queen story hour, in our public libraries, and I have our little children get exposed to these guys' genitalia as they're reading stories. I mean, but we tolerated that, didn't we? Oh, yeah, we did. The same thing with Obama. I mean, and he pushed all of this transgender nonsense into the vocabulary of the country, and now all of a sudden, you know, we have cisgenders and transgenders, and I think it's 60-something different genders now, which is insanity. And again, this is a fracturing of the United States, because what happens is now you have 60 different types of people. Now you've just broken the entire population into 60 different divisions. Well, I consider that I'm this, this, and this, but I'm not this, this, and this. So now we got this, this, and this going against this, this, and this. And when you start having combinations of the 60, then you have an infinite amount of different factions that basically are in the country. And this is what we've been led to believe is okay. And guys, it's not okay. I mean, these types of ideas that have been put forward to us have consequences if the ideas are accepted by the vast majority of the population. I mean, we accepted the fact that men could use the bathroom with little girls. Okay? We accepted that. Now, I didn't accept it, but the country did in whole. And see, the northern states are the ones that are pretty much compliant because they're all the liberals. You know, I remember I had a friend of mine in high school, and he had a mother. Her name was Mary. And Mary was one of the finest Christian southern ladies I've ever known in my entire life. I mean, she was proper. I mean, every time I came over there, she was offering me something to eat. She offered me a sandwich. I mean, the lady was absolutely amazing. And she always talked about those blankety-blank Yankees. And I'm like, why do you talk about the blankety blank Yankees? He goes, well, you know what they did in the South and how they ransacked the South. And well, I really didn't know. Okay. Cause remember, my mom came from Germany in 1952. My mom and my dad got divorced in 1960. And so I was born in 55. So I was really never exposed to what happened in the South because, you know, now I got, they talked to me about what happened in Germany during World War II. I was exposed to that. But I never had a full blowback as far as what happened with the southern states. So when Mary would talk to me about this, I would be like, wow, that's really interesting. It's hard to believe they did that. You know, the carpetbaggers and these guys from up north came in and they ransacked the South and the troops were put on the streets. I mean, they treated the southern states for 20 years like they were dirt because they had said we want states' rights instead of having a federal government tyranny. Now, the tyranny that was imposed on them after the Civil War was the perfect reason why they went against the federal government to start with. You can't have the federal government coming in and posting troops on the streets. This is what happened with Posse Comitatus. They had enough of it. We can't be doing this. This is insanity. And then they made the southern states sign that they would never, ever again leave the Union if they were going to be allowed back into the Union. They were punished and punished and punished and treated. Remember, these were Americans. These were Americans who said, we want states' rights. We don't want an overreaching federal government telling us what to do that's controlled via the international banking cartel. We don't want any of this. Remember, Abraham Lincoln was a socialist. He was a communist. He wrote letters. He was friends with Karl Marx. I'm going to say that again. Abraham Lincoln was friends with Karl Marx, the father of modern-day communism. Abraham Lincoln's wife was a Satanist. She used to have seances in the White House. You say, well, that's crazy. Well, Nancy Reagan did some crazy stuff in the White House too, didn't she? We have all of these people that get put into these different positions of power who basically have other people to come with them in these different positions of power who believe who knows what. You know, look at Jared Kushner. Look at Ivanka Kushner. Look at all these different things that are happening right now in the Trump administration and all these different people that are around him. Look what happened with Abraham Lincoln. But these ideas have consequences, especially when they take root. I mean, the soccer, I posted this on the website. He wrote an article. It's called The Systematic Collapse of the United States Society Has Begun. But this has been going on for a long, long time. You know, organized violence and looting in many American cities with pre-deliveries of bricks, weapons of destruction, police and government officials kneeling in submission to the rioters, thus encouraging the rioters in their actions. The police that are unsupported, they're standing down, they're allowing businesses to be destroyed. Looters are emptying even the big box stores. Huge economic loss. I mean, you know, it's unbelievable. Now they want to disband the Minnesota Police Department. Now the Minnesota mayor up there is asking for a bailout. Of course he is. You know, he pushed all of this stuff. Now he realizes the city's pretty much bankrupt. Now he wants a bailout. You know, everybody should ask a simple question. You know, we've got to realize that we've allowed the external training of police to take place primarily out of Israel, with the Israelis coming in, how they treat the Palestinians with different types of chokeholds, etc. And then we militarize the police like they did in Israel. Yeah, I've been to Israel. Austin's been to Israel. You walk around the streets, you've got police everywhere with M16 machine guns, with attack dogs. I mean, everywhere. I mean, this is how they live. And they're militarized. They have the military police basically walking around the streets. Same is true in the airports in Europe, especially Germany. I mean, I was shocked when I first went there with my dad in 1977. And I saw all these machine guns and all these guys walking around with machine guns with attack dogs. I was like, what the heck? Where am I? I was in Germany. Remember, Germany is still an occupied state. I mean, we still have thousands and tens of thousands of military personnel in Germany right now from World War II. The Germans don't really want them there. Now, they like the way they bring positive economic impact in those areas that they're in, but they're really basically in occupied territory, and they have been now for, what, 60, 70 years? And the crazy part about it is that, you know, South Korea feels the same way. They're in occupied territory with American forces. They want them out. See, but we had to be the police officers of the world, and we basically got all this training for our police officers from all these different places around the world that was dealing with all of this crazy strife. And now we have police officers like to go around with chokeholds and basically kill people. Now, the George Floyd thing is getting an awful lot of traction as far as it was a false flag murder. I said to you guys several weeks ago when this happened, is he really dead or was this all staged? There's too many things that are too weird about this whole thing. Now, I'm not going to come out and say it was staged. I'm not going to come out and say that it wasn't staged, but it's got some weird stuff going on with it. And you think, well, why would you make this commitment either way? Because I don't know. So many of these videos are being basically changed and being edited that you can't really tell what's going on or something's been erased or whatever. But we got to realize this militarization of the police departments, Austin and I have talked about this for years and years and years, it has backlash. Guys, think about it. When the first Reconstruction happened after the Civil War, it had to be closed down. Why? Because there was massive backlash against the Northern troops coming in and invading the South. I mean, there were guerrilla groups all over the place in the South that were basically trying to fight the Northern states after the Civil War was over with because of what they did with Reconstruction. The second Reconstruction was then the integration of neighborhood schools by force rather than persuasion. Force required denunciation of the Southern states, and the white liberals enjoyed their self-righteousness as they sowed the seeds of racial hatred. In the South, where I grew up, we didn't have a lot of prejudice against blacks when I was a kid. At least I didn't see it. I mean, a lot of people, including myself, we didn't really think about having a black nanny. I mean, we had a black nanny working for us when we had our little children. I didn't care about that. I her name was Ruth, and she was absolutely wonderful. She was a great housekeeper. She cooked the meals. She was great with the kids. I mean, if you really hate people for being a certain color, you're not going to bring them in and make them or help them to or pay them to watch your children for you. You're not going to do that. You know, Richard Weaver, author, said that ideas have consequences. Now we're experiencing the consequences of decades of teaching black Americans, listen to me, to hate white Americans. And the teaching of white Americans accept guilt for the black slave trade that originated back in the kingdom of Dahomey in the 1600. A black labor force was inherited by the United States and by the Confederate States of America. It was basically through history it was given. But in that history, it is mistaught that the inherited institution of slavery was imposed on black people by white supremacy. It was not. It came from the kingdom of Dahomey, where they sold their own people into slavery. And we still have active slave markets in the world right now, but nobody wants to talk about these things. They're not having Black Lives Matter there. They're not having those. It's slave markets right now that are occurring in the Middle East. They're not having those. But these lies have been institutionalized. And it's awful. You know, there's probably not going to be a way to get back from this George Floyd thing. And here's why. The blacks now, and these people that have rioted, including whites, they've gotten away with massive looting. Antifa is not being held accountable for the massive violence or the property damage. The Democrat media establishments are using the events against President Trump and all these other public officials who tried to protect private property. They're basically institutionalizing this. They're allowing our country to go into rioting, and they're making it legal. Now, it's almost impossible now to put down these protests. You're going to be stigmatized and marginalized. I mean, if you try to do it, they're going to say you're a racist. One lady said that they want to get rid of police departments because calling the police is racist. Having the ability to call police to come help you is racist. Well, now, wait a minute. I don't understand this. Remember, this all started with Obama. Everything you said about anything, whether it be a carrot out of Algeria or a dog out of Afghanistan, you were a racist. I mean, it made a difference what you said. You were racist. And it was ridiculous. And Obama started this mess. And then that Trayvon Martin stuff happened, which that was a complete lie with whatever happened with that stuff. I mean, that girlfriend wasn't even his real girlfriend, supposedly. And this is happening right now above us. I mean, think about this for a second. You know, are the whites having to be careful with their language? How about the blacks? You know, if you listen to a black rap song, everything is the N-word. N-word, N-word, N-word. Kill the pig, kill the cop. N-word, N-word, N-word. They're not careful with their language. The whites, though, say one word and you're done. I remember radio personality, Stephen D.C., they used the N-word one time on the air, just in slang. That was it. They were on over 200 stations. They were immediately taken off within hours. Their entire careers collapsed because they used the word one time. But blacks can use that language whenever they want. You know, you have to be careful now, if you're white, what part of the city you can go into if you can safely enter. You know, the white people are fired. They're sanctioned. They're evicted from social media for putting up a white sign on their cell phone because it's offending a black person. It's not the other way around. You know, a white player for the professional soccer league, the Los Angeles Galaxy, was let go. Not because of anything he did, because his wife posted an Instagram of a black looter holding a shoebox with the caption, Black Nikes matter. I mean, it was a joke. It's perfectly acceptable to offend white people and also to Christians. Remember, this is all part of Western society. We talked about it in depth yesterday. All of it's permissible. The governor of Virginia has ordered the removal of the statue of Robert E. Lee from Richmond. This Virginia capital, you know, of Virginia that Robert E. Lee honorably defended for 3 years from being looted and burned by the Union invaders like they did Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta was destroyed and burned to the ground. But Lee stood there and defended Richmond. But his statue's being taken down because it was racist of Lee to defend his state and property from the lives and the lives of those in Virginia. The truth of the matter is not the blacks have been genocided, but the southern people and their history have been destroyed. Now, I'm saying this as somebody whose parents were from Germany. I'm looking at this independently. I mean, I don't have a dog in this hunt. I don't have this. Okay? Now, the Germans had their own set of issues that I've dealt with personally and emotionally and everything else. Okay? I understand about what happened in the concentration camps, not to the level, I don't believe it happened to the level they said it did, but I understand they were there, these slave labor camps. I got that. I talked about it in depth. I know what happened. You know, but here's the thing. It's like with Kristallnacht. You know, this is in 1938. In 1933, Samuel Untermeyer declared war against Germany from international Jewry. WABC, look it up. You can see it, read it for yourself. And they boycotted German goods for 5 years. After 5 years, Hitler turned the people loose on the German Jewish businesses, and they looted them. Now, was that right? Absolutely not. Should that have happened? Absolutely should not have happened. It was horrible. I mean, any type of rioting and stealing of other people's stuff is not okay. But you got to realize, guys, you know, why in the world do they always turn one group of people against another group of people? Now, the Germans now have been treated like the Southerners were for the last 70 years, where to the point that Germany doesn't even have a replacement population because they've been so vilified and eviscerated in the media on an ongoing basis because of what happened in 1940. And these Germans that are alive today weren't even alive. They weren't even there. There was grandfathers and great grandfathers that were involved in those. They had nothing to do with it. But they're still. A few years ago, I was at a SHOT Show in Orlando. Usually it's in Vegas. It's all these different guns and machine guns. It's really a pretty cool place to go. And I was talking to one guy, and he was selling weapons to police departments. And he had a German accent. And I asked him, I said, what part of Germany are you from? Because I'm not German, I'm Canadian. And I looked at him, I said, Warum sagst du das? In other words, I asked him in German, why are you saying that? And he looked at me kind of funny. He goes, oh, you speak German. I said, well, my mom's German. I said, why are you acting like you're not German? I hear the accent. My mom had the same accent you have. He goes, oh, I can't tell anybody that I'm German or they won't buy anything from me because of the prejudice against Germany and Germans. And I'm like, dude, you know, you got to get past all that. I mean, you know, Germany makes really good weapons. Back in the 30s, they were leading the world in chemistry, in optics, in science, in technology, in development, all of this stuff. So why do you want to be ashamed of the fact that somebody 70, 80 years ago did something they probably shouldn't have done? In fact, they did something they shouldn't have done. And you say, well, I haven't thought about it like that. I said, but you need to get a life. I said, it's not part of this. But guys, this is what's happening. You know, this in the New York Times, it says the 1619 Project is spreading this genocide of white history to all of North America. Northern cities are in flames, and Canada won't escape. Nor will Europe. The northern liberals who think they can use black anger against the despised American South are going to find themselves flayed with the same whip. That's a quote from Paul Craig Roberts. See, this is what's going to happen. I mean, here in the South, Polk County, we've got a great sheriff. I love the guy. He goes to church with me, Grady Judd. I posted what he said a few weeks ago, but if you come in our houses in Polk County, we're going to shoot you, let you know. We're going to blow you back out of the house with the same guns that we've loaded that I've encouraged them to get. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. But right next door to us, literally 5 miles over the county line in Plant City, I found out last night that they had riots in Plant City and that one of the businesses downtown was ransacked with the rioters and the looters. I mean, this is right over the line of Polk County. Now, what's the difference? The difference is the mindset of the sheriff, because the sheriff's not going to allow that kind of stuff to happen in his county. See, and that's how we all have to have that mindset. We're going to say no. We're not going to allow this to happen. I feel completely and totally blessed that we live in Polk County, that we have a sheriff like this. But, you know, I think Grady is 65 years old. How long is he going to be sheriff? I mean, how long is it before he retires and leaves? I mean, I hope he stays around for the 20 years. But, you know, does he really want to be sheriff when he's 85 years old? See, that's the problem that we're going to run into. And I've talked about this with you, Austin, and with the listeners many times. When the old guard, my group, I'm 64, almost 65, when we retire and we step out and we go into the dim annals of history and we leave and we depart the planet or whatever happens to us, go to be with Jesus, I hope, pretty quickly, you know, what's the planet going to do when we lose the stability? Now, I've raised people, a son like you and like Harrison, Austin, you guys were taught the truth, but the vast majority of the snowflakes, they're about to inherit the world, they have never been told the truth about anything. It's all about political correctness with these guys. What's going to happen when the people that have been raised in a politically correct environment inherit the world and they make all the decisions? I can tell you what's going to happen. We're going to have a complete and total continued collapse of our society until the United States is in the ash heap of history. That's what's going to happen until they get their one world government, a new world order, and they're going to come in and start killing what's left of the Christians. That's where they want to take all of this stuff. So guys, we need to wake up. We need to raise our kids right, raise our grandkids right, really evaluate if you want to immunize them and fill them full of mercury, fetal cells, squalene, and aluminum that affects neurological development and IQ scores. Really evaluate that. Think about it for a second. If we keep dumbing down the next generation, next generation, next generation, they're going to continue to become more and more mindless sheeple. They're going to do anything they're told to do, anything. Police officer was told this week, you know, getting on your knees, not enough. I want you to fall prostrate on your face, face down on the concrete. And he did it. He did it. What the heck? Like a police chief. Another police officer of Minneapolis, guy comes up to him and says, will you get on your knee with us and pray with us? The guy goes, no. And the guy, oh, we're going to pray. You need to be on your knee. No, I'm not going to do that. He stepped back. Big crowd. And all of a sudden, the whole crowd starts shouting, get on your knee! Get on your knee! Ah, yeah, now here's the voice of Lucifer coming out. The guy's pretending like he's a Christian, telling this cop to get on his knee. And all of a sudden, the real story, the guy goes, you need to get on your knee as a sign of submission that you're sorry for what you've done. The guy just backed up, and you could tell he was ready to pull his revolver, his service revolver. What the heck? These people are now pretending like they're Christians. They want to pray with you and make you get on your knee. I told you guys yesterday, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, but it will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I can get on my knee for no man, period. They can shoot me first. I don't care anymore. I've had enough of it. I refuse to tolerate this type of behavior from these guys. These guys are awful. And if we keep giving Antifa everything it wants, it will be soon a country that will be run by Antifa. If that's what you guys want, we'll have full-blown communism here before the end of your lifetime. What do you think, Austin?
That's unfortunately accurate. You're 100% right. And, you know, my generation is about the only last remnant of hope that they have left. You know, us in our mid-30s, early 40s, and so forth. And, you know, if we keep raising little Americans, we may be able to maintain some level of civility in this country. But once my generation starts to tap out, you know, once I'm going into the 70, 80 range, 30, 40 years from now, which is ironic because, you know, they've talked about, you know, 2050, the UN 2050 agenda. They have had the UN 2020, the UN 2030, the UN 2050. They have said that they want their entire United Nations plan to be in full effect by 2050. That's you can look on their website. That's not conspiracy theory. It's not either. It's 30 years from now, which will put me basically, you know, at 62 years old, which is going to put me in a precarious situation at that point if I'm even still alive by then, to be honest with you. And so these things that you start to see now that are starting to occur are greatly troubling. I mean, I saw Pelosi and Schumer yesterday with these African scarves on, getting on their knees. The fact that you have political figureheads in Congress acting like pathetic, pathetic little people to do this for a photo op stunt to try to increase the black votes for them, to make everybody think they're some, oh, we're these great supporters of what you're doing. It's pathetic. I saw it. I was embarrassed for my country. One of the first times I've been truly, flat out embarrassed of my country with what they just did. And again, like Dad just said, this has nothing to do with supporting this. It has nothing to do with, hey, you need to show that you're in support and solidarity with us. This has nothing to do about that. This is all about domination and submission. 100%. 100%. And the fact that these rioters and these looters are continuing to go on doing what they're doing, and they're being supported by a lot of individuals. Like, for example, if you guys saw this, Chicago mayor said, do not, and there's a lot of people with concealed carry in Chicago and in Illinois, do not use your guns to defend yourself during a riot. Call the police and wait. And last night, this is unbelievably horrific, but it's almost ironic. Chicago beat its pretty much all-time high for shooting homicides in 24 hours. Had 18 homicide shooting deaths in less than 24 hours in Chicago last night. You're reaching a point now where that level of firearm homicides, you're getting up there with, like, Benghazi, Libya. Not joking. You can look at the numbers on
Mogadishu.
You're dealing with the fact now that you're talking about full-blown third-world country murders. That's where you're starting to get. You're talking about Juarez, Mexico. That's where their numbers are at, by the way, a lot of times. They hit the teens on a regular basis. Juarez, Mexico, drug cartel, full-blown third-world country violence. Chicago, Illinois is already going into that right now. I mean, that pushes you into an average between 540 and 550 deaths per month just from shootings in one city alone. And you have to ask yourself a question. What's going to happen if they start defunding the police? Because they're talking about Minneapolis now. I saw another article about this, and you know, I talked about it yesterday, and it's starting to become very clear to me now what is going on with this. I said it yesterday as well. They have to bring the United States, the globalists, they have to bring the United States into full-blown anarchy. The only way to do that is to draw back the last remnant of security in this country, and that's law enforcement. There's an individual, Minneapolis City Council, announced Sunday that they have proof majority to disband the city's police force, protecting nearly 500,000 people in Minneapolis. Democratic Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey declared his opposition to the proposal Saturday. However, he said that we need to address certain things. Jacob Frey said we need a yes or no answer on this. And one of the individuals that was speaking up said, yes, we do not want police in this city anymore. We do not want police with guns toting around in our communities, shooting us down. You have your answer. Now, that's a very troubling thing, especially considering the fact that a lot of people haven't even addressed this yet. Minnesota, especially Minneapolis, is one of the largest hardcore Muslim and Sharia Muslim populations in the entire United States. They have been shipping in and flying in Muslims from the Middle East into Minnesota and Minneapolis for years now. You can go up there and you can go to certain parts of Minnesota and it's full-blown Muslim areas. They even have Sharia law enforcement in some areas that the police don't even go, considering almost going into what they call no-go zones like they have over in Sweden and stuff now. That's already been going on in Minnesota. Now, I don't even understand the level of lunacy of these people, what they expect to have happen. I had a phone conversation with one of my good buddies who's SWAT team leader on Polk County Sheriff last night. And I said, what do you think is going on here? And he pretty much said exactly what I said. He goes, the problem is, he goes, Austin, what a lot of these people don't understand is, he said, as law enforcement, we see the absolute demonic, dark, sadistic side of society every single day. The side that most people never get exposed to, and if they do, it's very rare. He goes, we see it every single day. And he said, when you see morons start running around saying they want to disband police or defund police, he goes, the problem is a lot of law enforcement is going to start stepping down. Already in Minneapolis, I think they said they've had like 60 or 70 law enforcement resign or quit in the last week now. So we're done. They have like 800 police officers on the police force. That's it. They've had almost 10% drop off already. And he said, what's going to happen is the more short staff they get, the more of them that are going to fall off. And he goes, it takes generally around a year to get a law enforcement into basically, you know, active duty as far as going through training, through police academy, and so forth. He said, so they're not anywhere going to come close to replicating or replacing the amount of law enforcement they're losing right now in Minneapolis. And he said, if they are not careful, they're going to get what they ask for. And he said, here's the next thing nobody's talking about. When you start having law enforcement no longer present, he goes, do you think EMT and paramedics are going to come to scenes? Do you think EMTs are really going to show up and deal with angry rioters with no law enforcement whatsoever to even secure the situation? He said, no. All the EMTs and paramedics are going to do the exact same thing. And he goes, and guess what's going to happen after that? The firefighters are going to stop because they're not going to have any law enforcement to cover them while they're trying to put out the fires that the very idiots in the own city started because they're morons. He said, everything is going to come to a screeching halt when it comes to firefighting, security, you know, paramedics, everything. And he goes, you will literally have bodies in the street decaying and rotting as far as you can see with full-blown lawlessness in that city if it goes to that. And I said, well, I didn't really think of it like that. And he goes, a lot of people aren't. They're all wrapped up in their little BS emotions, basically what he said. And they want to prove their point that we're going to defund law enforcement, even though they have no idea that law enforcement is the last final straw of civility that holds most cities together, especially in these very violent cities right now. And he goes, you'll go into full-blown Wild West anarchy, where basically everybody pretty much just does whatever they want. They loot, they rob banks, they rob stagecoaches, or armored vehicles it would be now. They hang people, they gut people, they rape people, just what they do. And he goes, so when you see stuff like this, he goes, by all means, go for it. He goes, I promise you. He goes, they will have nobody there to back them up when it goes to full-blown anarchy. But here's the part that you have to add on to that. The globalists, and especially these hardcore leftist mayors and governors, are never going to let that go on long-term. They're never going to let it go on long-term because it's going to be so sadistic and so disgusting. They're going to have to step in with something. Well, if there's no law enforcement, and there's no paramedics, and there's no firefighters, the only other option is martial law. It's full-blown military occupation. Well, the problem is, if they can't violate posse comitatus, and they can't get law enforcement in a military in a law enforcement role, who's the next fallback that we saw Obama sign on to, what was it, 7-8 years ago, that if there were, it was full-blown anarchy, basically, is what the treaty said, and that human rights were being violated, the United Nations was required to step in and restore law and order in the United States. That, in my opinion, is where this is headed, and that is exactly why they're pushing this defund the police movement. So again, this is what they're trying to do. This is what they're trying to promote. And then when you have the blithering idiot Chicago mayor say, do not use your guns to defend yourselves during riots, and you already have people shooting each other in dozens at a time now in 24 hours, I don't know what she expects everybody to do except fall into full-blown anarchy. And I guess that's exactly what they're trying to promote right now. And so this is something that's going on right in front of our eyes right now. And the problem is most people are too scared to stand up. Like Dad said, if you even criticize any of these riots or any of these, you know, protests, if you even want to call them that anymore, then you're pretty much labeled far-right racist. I've already dealt with it, so has Dad. I've already gotten the blowback from it. I don't care. I'll speak my mind. This still is America, and we still have the ability to speak freely in this First Amendment, regardless it's not popular. Just part of life. People can deal with it. The thing that nobody's even discussing now, though, is that we have, on top of that, all of these implemented aspects of COVID-19 that were already put into place over the last couple months. My opinion, this was not coincidence at all. You now have the WHO, who came out now, and NBC reported this. They said, from the data we have, it still seems to be very rare that an asymptomatic person actually transmits onward to a secondary individual. That was Dr. Maria Kervoch, head of WHO's Emerging Disease Unit. So if asymmetric spread was the asymptomatic spread was the entire reason why the world authorities demanded lockdown, social distancing, masks, and it was the underlying justification for demanding mandatory vaccines and contact tracing, why in the world are they still pushing this? Why is this still going on? If asymptomatic spreading of COVID-19 was the main reason this was going on. So obviously, we've been lied to. If you saw the drone footage of the LA protest on Sunday, the fact that we had people being arrested for paddleboarding by themselves just 2 months ago, and people being arrested and pulled out of their stores and shut down and not able to make a living just a short while ago, but you literally had downtown L.A. shoulder to shoulder, door to door, building to building, as far as you could see from drone footage. And that's okay, because they're protesting. But yet, we had people having the entire businesses shut down and arrested, just some, even some of them a few weeks ago. Are you kidding me? Obviously, you're being lied to. And another thing that Dad brought up earlier, that whole incident with George Floyd, and I'm going to touch base on this real quick because I haven't really said a whole lot about it, because I've looked at it more now and I've analyzed it and I talked to my other buddy about this as well. One thing that was grossly disturbing about this, that whole video, wasn't just him being choked out. That part was horrible. Why, when the ambulance pulled up, did the alleged paramedics get out? Why were they in law enforcement attire? They were dressed, from what I have researched now, that was basically Minnesota State Trooper uniforms. When in the world have you seen state troopers deliver medical aid and pull somebody into an ambulance? I haven't. Now, there may have been a justifying reason to do that, but I found that grossly odd, because I did go to first responder school and EMT school when I was younger. I have yet to ever see a state trooper, multiple state troopers, get out of an ambulance. And if he did, allegedly was choked out and was unconscious, which it was very clear in that video that he was to me, why was he not rendered aid right there? Why did they not basically check his vitals? They literally jumped out, threw him on a gurney, threw him in the back of the ambulance, jumped in the ambulance again, the individuals who are dressed like state troopers, and drove off. When have you ever seen that happen when you're dealing with an unconscious victim that's basically not breathing, allegedly? That was so weird to me when I watched that video again the other day. So there's so many things that aren't being answered about this video. The fact that there's this close-up video of this guy being choked out by a knee for 9 minutes, that nobody else even happens to question why they didn't tell him to step back. It's funny how a lot of incidences, majority of incidences, where you see law enforcement encounters and bystanders walk up with phones, most law enforcement tell them to stop recording, or they push them back and they say, stay back 100 feet, you're interfering with an investigation. Yet they let this guy sit there with a video camera not more than 4 or 5 feet off multiple officers holding this guy down. Was that not odd to anybody else, considering other altercations that we've seen in the past? Just thought I would throw those things out there. But use your brain. Ask questions. Don't believe every single thing narrative is talking about in the mainstream media, because majority of it now is lies. And as we have said for years now, it's becoming very, very clear that the agenda is the downfall of this country. And by golly, if people don't wake up and start realizing what's going on, we're about to have it right now. We still have the ability to hold this country, but everybody has to start standing their ground and not capitulating to mob rule, because that is exactly what we are having right now. We are experiencing firsthand. This is mob rule. You get on your knees and you do what I tell you to do. If not, we're going to riot more. How about the answer is no? How about the answer is, don't tell me what to do and I won't tell you what to do? This is a free country. You telling me to do that and get on my knees because I'm white is doing exactly what you are trying to accuse everybody else
That's
of,
exactly
systemic
right.
racism, except you're personifying it even more with your verbal and your actions. Wake up, stand your ground. Don't capitulate to these goons and these mobs that are trying to do this to our country right now, Dad.
You know, Austin, years ago, 2004, we had three hurricanes come through here, Central Florida, right where I'm here, Polk County. And it was, the devastation was horrific. And there was a neighbor we had, he was an attorney, and he basically lived about 5 houses, 6 houses down. And the sewage line basically broke coming into his property from the city sewage, and he had open sewage running through his house into the lake. I kid you not. And this guy's a really high-powered attorney, and his name was Jim. And I saw him, and his house was a mess. He had that, like, oh, my, what a disaster that was. And it was basically the city's, municipality's system failed. And I asked him, I said, are you going to have them fix this for you? Are you going to ask them nicely? Are you going to file a lawsuit? And he said, no, and I'm going to quote him. Don't get offended by what I'm going to say. I'm going to say something. So I'm quoting him. He said, I learned a long time ago, my dad taught me a long time ago, you don't piss in your own bed. And I looked at him kind of funny, and I said, I guess that's true. And he goes, yeah. He goes, if I file a lawsuit on the city officials, anytime I ever need anything from the city or anything, they're going to be like spitting when they see me, mad that I'm here. They're not going to be happy I'm here. They're going to be angry. He goes, I have my law practice in Orlando. I drive down here every single day from Orlando because I want to live in peace, and I'm not going to in my own bed. And I thought, wow. And yet here we have these people in Minneapolis, and they're urinating in their own bed. These people in Chicago are urinating in their own bed. I mean, they have to live there. Now their stores are burned down. And the irony of all of this stuff is they're telling you now, the mayor of Chicago, which is that little troll who was elected, she's a little lesbian weirdo nightmare is what she is. She basically is now telling them that they can't defend themselves with a gun if they're being riot upon or being attacked. Don't use your guns, okay? What they tell you now in these liberal cities, if you're a woman and they're about to rape you, that you need to basically not resist and urinate and defecate on yourself. Now, I don't like talking like this on the show, but that's what they're telling you. If you urinate and you defecate on yourself, don't use any resistance, they will be disgusted, they won't rape you, and they will leave. Okay. Do you realize how demeaning that is, to have to urinate and defecate on yourself so you don't get raped? I don't even know how to respond to this. But again, this is the mantra of the left. They urinate in their own cities. They defecate in their own cities. They destroy their own infrastructure that they have to live in, and then they blame it on a white person or on someone else. This is so ridiculous now. If we did the same thing, if we burned our city down where we live and we blamed it on the black people, but we burned it down, everybody would say that we need to be in a psychiatric institution or something wrong with you. But the problem is, as Christians, this is a problem that we have developed over the years. We've lost our ability to resist and say no. We've been taught from the pulpit now that it's okay just to go ahead and have these people do whatever they want to do to you, and you can't say anything about it. You just have to resist and not say anything and go on down with your way. And I understand Christian martyrdom. I got that. I realized that they had literally tens of thousands of Christians in Rome over a period of several hundred years, literally martyred and crucified and burned at the stake and everything else they did to them. I got that. But guys, here's the thing. I was up one time. I was in Montana, and we were going up to Glacier National Park, and we were hiking, and I ran into a group of Mennonites. I think they were out of Ohio or Pennsylvania. And I asked them, I said, would you guys really not defend yourself if someone broke into your house? Because they have guns, they hunt. And I said, and not hold a gun on somebody who is raping your wife and children? And they said, what do you mean? I said, I didn't stutter. I said, would you really not do that? Would you really not defend themselves? And then the old guy looked at me, goes, he's like 70 years old. He goes, you know, I've thought about that over the years. He goes, I'd kill him dead. I said, okay. And the other guy, the younger guy, looks, oh, no, 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 you should never do that. You should just go ahead and let them do whatever they're going to do. So where's the line? I'm asking you guys that as my Christian friends. Where's the line in the sand? I mean, I pray for you guys every day. I ask God to protect you every day. And I hope and I pray these people see the truth and know the truth. I remember one time I had another friend of mine. His name was Howard. He was like a surrogate dad. And he had a friend of his, basically was a preacher, visiting him in his house one day. And this is a true story. And all my stories are true. I shouldn't say that. They're all true. And the guy had a Bible. And it was interesting because he used to go into these communities in these third world countries. And he had a Bible. And I asked him, I said, how do you defend yourself? He goes, well, I preach. And then he opened his Bible, and he had a cutout in the middle of the Bible where he had kept a gun inserted when he's in these countries. In case he needed the gun. I thought, well, that's interesting. You know, I wasn't saved at this point, guys. It was odd to me that I saw a preacher with a gun. He had a big fat Bible, and part of it was cut out where he put a little 22 Derringer inside of it. So he actually had outlined it and actually had it inserted into his Bible. So I thought that was a bit odd. But, you know, where do we draw the line? I'm asking you guys that. Write me some letters about it. Send me some emails. Where do you think we should draw the line? How badly do we let them come in and do what they're doing before we stand against them? Now, I'm going to tell you how I feel. You know, people are always going to be crazy. And crazy is crazy. You can't fix stupid. You can't do that. And these people have been making ideologically trained. They've been dumbed down on fluoride, dumbed down on statin drugs. I mean, we've got a third of the population now is depressed in this country. I mean, they're depressed. I mean, they need B-complex. They need vitamin C. They need cod liver oil. They need 5-HTP. They're basically really getting depressed because of what's happening, because their normalcy bias all of a sudden isn't working, and it's not going back to the way it was. And there aren't 175,000 indictments, and they're freaking out, okay? Because everything they believed was going to happen is not happening. And now there's a high probability that Trump won't be reelected, and these guys are flipping out about that. Now we're going to have some senile guy in the White House that's a doggone pervert. He's an old geezer pervert is what he is, who somebody should have knocked upside the head when they touched their wives. I mean, this guy's a nut. So where do we draw the line on this as Christians? I mean, do we become active? Yes. Local politics, county politics, city, state politics, yes. We need to be active with that. Should you go down to the meetings when they have meetings and they start talking about this stuff? Yes. Should you get involved in national politics? Yes. You should always be involved in speaking the truth through the Word of God of what these people are supposed to be doing. If we don't have that, we break the fabric of society down. If we no longer have a template, listen to yesterday's show. It was really, really a good show yesterday. We talk about what happens when we break down the society of Western civilization, where it leads us. I wanted to bring this article up because I mentioned it earlier. Taking a knee is not enough. Video shows a Massachusetts police chief lying face down at the urging of BLM protesters. Just in case you didn't think I was, at least I was not being accurate with this. A video on social media shows the head of the police of Webster, Massachusetts, expressing his solidarity with Black Lives Matter activists by lying face down on the ground, prompting applause from protesters and anger on Twitter. In the footage circulating online, Michael Shaw is seen telling a group of demonstrators that he fully supports their right to peacefully assembly, and their message against police brutality and racism has been heard loud and clear. While other law enforcement officials have made similar statements, he went one step further by lying face down in front of the sign reading, "I can't breathe." Many of the crowd joined him and they shouted, "Thank you, Chief." Guys, okay, this isn't okay. I'm sorry, this is not okay. You know, it's one thing to pray for these people and to say, yes, you're right. We've got a problem with police brutality in the United States, and many of these police officers need to be better screened and fired. And things like chokeholds and things like that should never be used. All of these Israeli tactics that have been taught to these police should never be used, should never have been taught here. It's okay to say that. And yes, I'm going to stand in solidarity with you that these types of actions by police officers is unacceptable. And what happened with George Floyd, though I believe it was staged at this point, you know, is unacceptable. It's like that Trayvon Martin thing turned into this giant nightmare. It's all being used for racial division. And the sad part of all of this stuff is this. If we capitulate and we say, we're going to go ahead and get rid of the police departments, it's like Austin said, the only thing that held this structure of the United States together was the nuclear family and our Christian faith. That's it. The reason we were finding ourselves in this position is we've allowed these liberals after the Civil War. The Southern states was a very godly group of people. They were Christians primarily. The liberals weren't up north. We had a bunch of really, you know, I mean, just absolutely hardcore Christians here in the South. And the northern states hated that. And they wanted to destroy it. And always remember, that entire war, that war with the South, the Civil War, was all funded on both sides by the Rothschild banking cartel. Never forget their influence in all of this stuff, because these are the guys that are always in charge of doing all of these crazy things, because they're the ones who are trying to bring in socialism. By the way, in Georgia, three radical leftists now have tracked cops to their homes and they're firebombing their cars. But we're not supposed to talk about it, are they? In Missouri, retired St. Louis police captain David Dorn, he was 77 years old. He was killed by looters trying to defend a property. We've got now many A-list celebrities who are supporting the riots by posting bail for protesters and looters. Again, it's so stupid to me because these A-list celebrities, a lot of them being paid millions of dollars a movie, that's why there's certain people I don't watch their movies. I'm giving you a list of those people now, are basically supporting the very groups that are overthrowing the United States of America. Of course, this goes right back to the Red Scare with McCarthy and how the communists took over Hollywood. Now, in the U.S. here, a new bill in the Senate could cause someone to get 10 years in prison for slapping someone. Wow. I mean, are you kidding me? Senator Rand Paul is holding up the federal so-called anti-lynching bill that passed in the Senate last year during the Jussie Smollett lynching incident that was staged by by Smollett himself. But the House changed the name of the bill, so the Senate must vote on it again. The bill creates a new crime called conspiracy to lynch, unbelievable, that will allow the feds to imprison people for thought crimes because the bill fails to define conspiracy. Without a precise definition, prosecutors could claim that any act or verbal expression was evidence of a conspiracy, and there does not have to be an actual attempt or preparation for bodily harm. The bill states, whoever conspires with another person shall be punished in the same manner as a completed violation. In other words, it's a thought crime. That's where we're headed. Thought crimes here in the United States? Is that what they want? Unbelievable. And here we are. Here we find ourselves here. Minneapolis Mayor Fry basically begs for bailout. He rejects mob pressure to defend police. He's the one who pushed all of this. Now he wants to get a bailout from Minneapolis because he's such an idiot and he can't run a city properly. Unreal. Guys, I love you. I had the opportunity to pray for you this morning. You guys are absolutely awesome. The last couple of days, the shows have been kind of different because we're having to look at things from a different perspective than we ever have. Please listen to yesterday's show and get an understanding of what happened with the Frankfurt School, how they came in, what their ideology has done, and how they destroyed Western civilization and how it was done on purpose. I love you guys. I'll also go ahead and finish it up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely. And as you continually watch and you see a lot of this stuff happening, be very aware of what's being done in the media, you know, because a lot of times when, you know, conservative groups, conservative families, alternative media, you know, that's why we try to bring a lot of this stuff up that's really going on as well, because a lot of times you kind of miss it. If you don't watch CNN and all this other garbage all the time, you know, sometimes you're kind of like, whatever, you don't notice it. Well, the New York Times columnist just put an article out the other day. This is so weird and disturbing, but it shows you the fact of what they're trying to promote. The article was titled, "I Don't Need Love Texts from My White Friends." I kid you not. And the writer was Chad Sanders, who continually goes on and rants about how he lives in fear all the time because he's black. Now, what's ironic about a lot of this is that this has not been anything anybody's protested or brought up in any recent time, including the fact that there are shootings on a regular basis in Chicago and these other states. And then he goes on there and demands that white people ditch their own family members if they refuse to attend protests or make financial contributions to Black Lives Matter. This is not only disturbing, it's grossly disgusting. When you start telling people they need to essentially remove and step away from their family because they're not giving you money and they're not giving money to a cause that's completely and totally violent, that's pushing anti-police sentiment and pushing violence and rioting as a form of change and control, that's disturbing to me on so many levels. The fact that the New York Times even allowed this to be published goes to show you of what narrative they're trying to promote and they're trying to push. So again, understand what's being exposed and what your kids are being exposed to right now. There's a lot of children that are confused right now, and rightfully so. This is a strange time to be alive for a young teenager, even, you know, even a little bit younger than that. But understand what they're being exposed to. This is going to be something that's very troubling when the school semester starts in the fall for public school systems. This is going to be a very strange time. I'm giving everybody a heads up on that. If you have kids, if they're especially in public school systems, if this rhetoric continues to be promoted, especially in the media, by August when the school system starts, you really need to evaluate what you're going to do with your kids. And I mean whether you're Hispanic, whether you're black, whether you're white, I mean anybody. because there is going to be some strange things that start in the fall. I'm telling you that right now. There's already been so many different weird restrictions, requirements, all these weird things they put into place with COVID. And now you're going to start having this rhetoric being promoted all over the place. So again, be aware of it. Be vigilant and stay strong and stay awake and continue to raise little Americans. Like I said, I don't care. It doesn't matter what your ethnic background is. If you live here, you're an American, especially if you're here legally and you're supporting this country, you're an American. Be an American. Stand up for America. Don't fall prey into this ridiculous ideology. Please continue to spread the truth. Get this information out there. If you need anything at all, please be sure to call up Health Masters. We're still continuing to make sure we keep everybody healthy, strong, and pushing through all this right now. I know that the people have still been contracting COVID. A lot of people that I've talked to have tested positive. Get through it very quick, especially with the vitamin C and D3 protocol that we put together. Very, very important regimen. If you guys need anything as well, the B-Complex is on sale right now at healthmasters.com. And also be sure to vote for what you want to see win. Tomorrow is product of the week. The B-Complex is on sale for 10% off right now at healthmasters.com. So please continually stay strong, exercise, stay in shape, eat well, keep your body strong and your immune system strong right now, and continue to speak the truth and stand up for your convictions and stand up for what's right. We appreciate you guys. Thank you again for the continued support to send out our emails, to send out our shows, just waking people up and spreading the truth. We greatly appreciate it. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Stay prepared, stay awake, stay fresh, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.